Well, we've already been talking quite a lot this morning about running and running races. Now, I wonder if I said to you, can you name me two of the most famous athletes, and I'm talking about running athletes, in the whole world? One of them you've already seen already on a clip, and it's not Dave. Although doing a marathon sub 3 hours, I can tell you, is incredibly impressive. But let's think of two runners that are really, really famous. Zach, adults, you've got to put your hand up. Come on, the kids have got their hands up. You're shouting out. Usain Bolt, yes, I'll take him. Go on then, Joanne, you've got your hand up. Joanne, you're a famous runner, are you? Not the one I was thinking of. Callum. Mo Farah, yeah, let's see if you're right. These are the two most famous runners in all the world, I think. Oh, they might appear, they might not. Okay. Yes. That's right. Okay. So my claim to fame is that I've raced against one of those two runners. Okay. I'll let you decide who won. Okay. But I will just, hopefully there's going to be a clip. There may be a clip. Yes, there's going to be a clip, of the start of that race that I raced against Mo Farah in this race, the World Half Marathon Championships in Cardiff. And needless to say, neither me nor Mo Farah won. You'll be shocked to hear that, won't you? But a guy called Jeffrey Kamora won from Kenya in 59 minutes and 10 seconds. But his race did not start quite how he might have planned. Let's see. Let's watch this together.
Big crowds at the start line. And they don't have far to go to the finish, but the athletes have got 13.1 miles to go. Oh, there's a fall at the start. I think it was Jeffrey Kamora, one of the pre-race favourites, who fell right at the start there. And that, I hope he's okay. A horrible way for him to start the defence of his title. And he's a long way back, because of course what happens then is people are running over the top of you. You can't get on your feet. You can't get up. Mo Farah's chances perhaps improve, because the energy Kamora is going to have to expend just to get back to the front here will be certainly detrimental to his chances here.
So there we are. He still managed to win the race. So we are all called to run a race for God. Now don't worry if you don't like running and you're here going, oh, stop talking about running. I hate running. It's okay. There is not usually any physical running involved. We're talking about an illustration here, a picture that the Bible gives us about our life that we live, when we know God. It's like a race. It's the journey of the Christian life. And there is a great prize on offer in the race that we're running for God. And I don't want anyone here this morning, don't want any of you to miss out on this prize. And it's not a packet of Maltesers, don't worry. It's far greater than that. And you need you don't need to win the race to get the prize. Because when I ran that race, and I don't know whether Mo Farah kept his medal like I kept mine, but everyone who finished the race got a medal. Didn't matter whether you were the fastest, whether you were the slowest, the youngest, the oldest. Everybody who finished got a medal. The key was to finish the race, not to try and win the race. So if you know Jesus, then you're in that race this morning. You're in that race in your life. And there's a far, far greater prize than that tiny little medal that I've got tucked away in my drawer somewhere. It's the great prize of knowing God forever and being with him in heaven. That is what we're running for. That is the prize. It's infinitely more valuable than anything this world can offer. And if you want this prize, you want to take part, you need to know Jesus and you need to be following him. But a word to you, therefore, if you're not following Jesus, if you don't know him and you don't love God and you're not following him yet, then you're not in the race. And there is no chance that you're going to win the prize. So if you're not following him, now I want to urge you this morning to say sorry to God for the wrong things that you've done in your life, the times you've messed up, and to follow him, to get to that start line. And to get on that race with God, because there's a great prize on offer. And I don't want anyone to miss out. God's got an amazing adventure, an amazing plan for your life, planned out for you. Don't miss out. Now, sometimes this race is really hard. It's much more like a marathon than like a sprint. And so the Bible tells us we need to persevere. And actually the Hebrews passage that we're looking at this morning, that was written to Christians who felt like giving up. They felt like it was too tough, it was too hard, maybe we should just go back to our old life and forget about knowing God. And that the writer of the Hebrews says, don't do that. Don't miss out. Keep going. Keep persevering. So maybe if you're here this morning and you're feeling a bit down, a bit low, a bit like giving up, then this is a message for you. So listen in. Don't give up. Keep going. And one of the first things that the writer does, he reminds us of all the past champions. Now, we didn't read chapter 11, but in that chapter, it talks about all the great heroes of the Bible, some of the great heroes of the Bible, and it describes them as like a cloud of witnesses that are watching the race. A bit like your gallery up there. You're in the arena as a runner, and there's all a big crowd around supporting you and cheering you on. And those are some of the Old Testament characters that we know about. People like Abraham, Moses, Noah, David, Samuel, Rahab. They were all followers of God. Now, they were all messed up as well. They all got stuff wrong, okay? They're all ordinary people like us. But they can encourage us. Because if God can use them, with all their faults and failings, God can use us. And God can use you. So we can be encouraged by that great cloud of witnesses. In verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, I need another volunteer this morning. I don't know whether Stuart might have run out of chocolate, so you might not technically get a reward, but I can offer you a medal instead. So there's a medal at stake here, but I need a volunteer. Probably it might need to be someone from Connect, if you're brave enough to volunteer Connect. Because it's not an easy, this is a challenge, okay? No one's volunteering. Come on in, Zach, you help me, so you can come and run this race for me. Right, so what I need you to do is I need you to run the race marked out for you, okay? Now, you know that because you helped me mark it out this morning, didn't you? So if you probably can't see up there, on the balcony, but there is some arrows on the floor here, and Zach's going to follow that, and that's going to be the race that he's going to run. But there's one slight issue. You're going to have to wear some extra things. Okay, so put that on. It's not too bad, is it? My work coat, there we go, lovely. And some gloves, running gloves. And my work hat, maybe. And my work bag. This is quite heavy. Does anyone want to test it? Right. Okay, Zach. Feeling like a race now? Feeling like a runner? It's quite heavy, isn't it? Okay, ready? Actually, health and safety. Come down here. Okay, start there. And then stop there. Don't go on any steps. Okay, go. Oh, he's doing well. There's a lot of hymn books in that bag. Great, well done, Zach. Awesome. Okay, right, now, we might be able to help Zach out a little bit, because he was a little bit hindered there. So let's see what verse 1, let's read that again, see how that might help you. So it says, therefore we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, this cloud of witnesses didn't really help you then, did they? They didn't support very much, okay? So this is Zach, you can support him next time, great crowd, okay? You can cheer him on. It says here, let us throw off everything that hinders. So go on, throw some things off. That's better, isn't it? Throw that off. Okay, right, so gonna have another race. See if it's easier. So go down the steps. No running on steps. Okay. Ready? Ready, crowd? Go! Awesome! Brilliant. Thanks, Zach. Well done. Oh, don't forget your medal. Because you completed the race. You get a medal. Well done. Excellent. Great. Well, what a difference that made. What a great crowd you were. Must be very godly people. Okay. So verse 1 really helped him, didn't it? As Zach ran the race, it was marked out for him, though. He knew where he was going to go because there were some arrows on the floor. You better see those afterwards if you're upstairs. And that was the race that was marked out for him. And that was a life that we are called to live. It's not, the Bible doesn't describe it as a walk in the park. It is a marathon. It's a race that we have to run with perseverance. It could be a long race for us in our life. It could be a short race. It could be a road that's marked out with difficulties and suffering. I didn't put obstacles in the course because I thought that might be a bit dangerous, but you can imagine things like that that might happen that would make the race really difficult. But it is a race marked out for us. And we know that it is God who's marked out that race for us. Jesus has gone before us. He's blazed the way. He's made the way. Therefore, whatever we face in life, we can take that great comfort that God is in control, and that's a really encouraging thought as we run the race that's marked out for us. And we're all called to run with perseverance, which is why we know it could be a hard race. But it shouldn't be a lonely race. We should be encouraging and supporting one another, which you just did a great job of for Zach there, and I'm sure that he was really appreciative. So we're not called to be fickle spectators who tut and moan when things don't go wrong and start booing our own team. We encourage one another to keep running and inspire and encourage one another. The race that's marked out for us, that God himself has marked out. Okay, but one of the keys to Zach being able to run really well there was being throwing off everything that slowed him down, the sin that so easily entangles. So often we try and run with burdens, and as we run as Christians, we start putting things on, and we start making it more difficult for ourselves, and we don't throw things off, which would make it so much easier. We pick up baggage and sin in our life, and the passage here in the Bible tells us to throw that off, to cast off our sin, that we can run really well for God. So I wonder what's hindering you this morning? What's slowing you down in your walk with God, in your race of faith that you're running? Maybe it's pride. Maybe you think, I'm okay, I can do this myself. It's not that hard. I've got it all sorted. I'm pretty much there. I can do it. Or maybe you're being a bit selfish and you're just putting yourself first all the time. And you're not looking out for others, but you're just focusing on what's best for you, not on what God's called you to do. Or maybe, particularly if you're a young person, maybe you're being distracted and entangled by the world's ideas and world's philosophies. Maybe your friends are talking about YOLO all the time. Don't know if you adults know what YOLO means. It means you only live once. And so people will say to you, you've got to do it because you only got one chance. You've only got one life. You need to do it. And you're trying to run for Jesus and you're thinking, I should be serving people, I should be following him. But your friends are trying to distract you and take you down a different road because they're telling you, you've only got one chance of this, guys. You only live once, which is a lie that the world has put into your mind. Or maybe you're really concentrated on being popular and you want everyone to like you and to laugh at your jokes, and therefore you're not prepared to run God's race well and do what is right with him because you're too worried about what other people think of you. Or maybe if you're older, it could be things like money, it could be things like comfort or security that you're holding on to and you don't want to let go because you want to be in control of those things and not let God decide the race that he's marked out for you, and you're not trusting him to follow that. And that means you're trying to run with all this baggage and this burdens, and you're slowed down, you're weighed down, and you probably feel like giving up. You need to cast that off and run free. Okay, so we've thrown off the excess baggage, but it's a long race. How can we be sure we're not going to grow weary as we run a long race? How can we persevere and keep running? Well, verse 2 gives us the main thing we need to remember. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We look to Jesus and we see how he ran. Now, how do we look to Jesus? Because that's quite a strange thing to say, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but we don't sort of see Jesus walking around. He's in heaven, okay? So how do we look to him? We don't normally see him, and we're not seeing him yet. We will do when we get to heaven, of course. So looking to Jesus means we're thinking about him, we're considering him, and we're keeping him in our minds. A bit like, you know, what Dave was saying about he had to do a lot of training to be able to run his marathon. Well, our training in life is to read God's word, read the Bible, to pray to him, So we're keeping Jesus in our mind and we're focusing on him and we're looking to him, keeping him concentrated. We're not getting flabby and complacent, but we keep training, keeping fit for the race. So the passage says we are to consider Jesus who faced such opposition. Because Jesus, from the moment he was born, people started hating him. Okay, when he was born, Herod tried to murder him. And immediately Jesus and his family became refugees and they had to flee to Egypt away. Later, when it was safe for him to return to Nazareth, and then later on when he started his ministry, he started talking to people, telling them the good news, preaching. The crowd didn't like it. They took him up to the top of the hill and they tried to push him off the cliff. Straight away, people were against what Jesus was saying. And he faced continual opposition from sinful men in his life. The religious leaders, they were plotting, trying to work out how they can take him down. The devil was trying to distract him from his mission. And demons were constantly hassling Jesus all the way along the road that he was going. Now, Jesus did have a group of followers. He did have some disciples, some apostles, his friends. But how much help were they? In the hour of his greatest need in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was literally sweating blood as he thought about the cross before him, what he was going to do for all of us, he asked his friends, pray with me, help me at this time. And what did they do? They fell asleep. And then another friend who was in Jesus' inner circle, who'd been with him from the beginning, Judas, came and betrayed him and handed him over to the Romans. Then what happened to all the friends? They legged it. They were out of there. They fled. But there was worse to come because Jesus had been handed over to the Romans. And they are literally experts in handing out humiliation, punishment and death. And they took Jesus and they flogged him and they humiliated him. And they nailed him to a Roman cross. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And he died the most humiliating, lonely and shameful death that there could possibly have been. And at that point, when you thought that it couldn't get any worse, he had to carry on the cross the burden of all the sin of the world on his shoulders. And at that moment, his father, who had been with him from the beginning and from all eternity, couldn't look at his son because of all the sin that was on him. And at that point, Jesus and the Father were separated for the first time ever. And that was in order that we don't need to be separated from God ever again. And Jesus at that moment cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he was left alone. Wow. I'm so glad that I don't have to run the race that Jesus had to run, because he ran it for us and he's paid that price. So when we feel like we're weary, we feel like we're struggling, we feel like we want to give up, then we look to Jesus and we see what he did, how he ran, and what he did for us. And the passage said that Jesus did that for the joy that was set before him. He knew what was coming. He knew about all the pain and the cross and the fact that he was going to be suffering. But he knew also the great joy that he would bring many people like us into salvation. And that was his joy. We are his joy because of what he did. He saw that. He weighed up the cost and it was worth it because of his great, great love for us. So Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He is the leader who's gone before us. So sometimes we can trip and we can fall, a bit like Jeffrey Kimura in that race right at the start when he just slipped over and then there was a whole crowd of people behind him just ran over the top of him. And eventually, obviously, he managed to get himself up and he shot off and actually managed to win the race. But that can sometimes happen to us. We can trip, we can fall in this life and things can go wrong and against us. But if we're following and trusting in Jesus, he will pick us up and he will carry us through and see us to the end of the race. So if you feel like you have fallen, you feel like you're struggling, then don't lose heart. Jesus has got this. He knows. He's marked out the race for you. Nothing happens in your life that he doesn't already know about. We can trust him. Remember that running God's race brings us immense joy. Have you ever seen or watched children running down a hill or out into a large open field? And they just feel free. They're so excited. The smiles are on their faces. And we need to remember that running God's race makes us full of joy. It's a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be in his race, to be called to do that. So we talked a little bit about heroes and the great cloud of witnesses. And one of my heroes is Eric Liddell. He was a very famous fast runner, and he inspired the film Chariots of Fire, which is a t-shirt that I got on this morning. And he says in the film that he says, "I believe that God made me for a purpose, and that purpose was for China." He went to be a missionary in China. "But he also made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure." He was talking about when he physically ran. He was feeling God's pleasure in his life because he was using one of the great gifts that God had given him. And God was delighting in Eric Liddell and his the way he ran. And we too can feel God's pleasure when we run our spiritual race for him. When we follow God in this life, then we can know his joy before us. Eric's life took him, after he won a gold in the Olympic Games, took him to China where he was a missionary. See, he had great times of great success, winning an Olympic gold medal, but really hard times as well, when he really had to trust in God. And whatever we're doing in our lives, whether it's going really well or it's really hard at the moment, we can feel God's pleasure on us as we run well, because we are his joy. So how can we run this race marked out for us? How can we persevere to the end and make sure that we receive the prize, the great crown of glory? How can we run with joy in our hearts? Well, we need to cast off the sin that slows us down, and we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the ultimate hero. He is the ultimate champion who's for us. He's the one who's gone before us, and he will perfect our faith. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is worthy of all of our praise and all of our worship.